when a large religious service was being conducted at Golden Gate Exposition in San Francisco, many people became very quickly aware that the keynote main speaker was not orthodox in his theology. Although he was a gifted speaker, he began to direct most of his eloquence against the power of the blood of Christ. Ruth E. Marsden relates that when his fluent oratory ended, a timid elderly lady stood up in the midst of the crowd and softly began to sing a great hymn by William Cowper as a touching rebuttal to the modernist remarks. A hush fell over the assembly as they heard those faint but familiar words. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. Before she could begin the second stanza, approximately 100 people rose in the assembly to join her. By the time she had reached the third verse, nearly 1,000 Christians all over the audience stood and sang that blessed song of the faith. The triumphant, thrilling strains rang out loud and clear. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Many were humbled by this believer who stood up for her Lord. With the light of heaven shining on her face, she gave testimony that she had found peace through the blood of Christ on the cross. You know, you and I live in a sad hour, a tough moment in history. The blood of Christ has become somewhat of a mockery to some. And the sad thing is that a Bible-centered, blood-bought salvation is now becoming hate speech. People say things like, man doesn't need the blood in order to be saved. I mean, think about it. There are mainline denominational churches even around us who would reject the idea that someone has to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. They say it's not necessary anymore. They've adopted what we call the social gospel. It doesn't mean that you have to believe in a certain thing or trust in the blood of Jesus. If you're just a good enough person, that's okay. But the fact of the matter is, that is damning theology. It's damning. Some have even gone as far as to remove songs dealing with the blood from their modernistic liberal hymnals. Listen to this quote from a female theologian named Dolores Williams. Quote, I don't think we need a theory of atonement at all. I don't think we need folks hanging on crosses and blood dripping and all that weird stuff. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter what she thinks or any liberal theologian. God has spoken, and He has spoken with clarity. The only way you and I are forgiven of sins is by the cleansing power of the perfect Lamb of Jesus Christ in His blood. That is the only way we can be forgiven of sins. You see, just as a body emptied with blood becomes a corpse, so a church emptied from the right theology of the atonement, the blood of Christ, is dead. The blood is the bedrock for our faith. It is the bedrock. The church, the Bible, the gospel, our faith, everything hinges on the blood of Jesus. It is our everything. It is our only hope. It must be. The blood is our only hope, the blood of Jesus. Religion may decry it and call it out of date, repulsive, or even barbaric. But the truth is, it's still the only thing that saves. It's the only thing that saves. Robert Lowry got it right when he penned those famous words in that old hymn, "Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood." And this morning, I want to key us in on the blood of Jesus. I want to focus us to the main and the most pivotal point of our faith. Jesus' death, His blood. And I want to make it real practical. Here are five things, if you have been saved, that the blood of Jesus has done for you. And if you're not saved, listen real carefully. These are five things that the blood of Jesus can do for you. Five things. So what does the blood of Jesus do for you and me? Number one, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from my sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from my sin. Listen to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." Or think about Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, which states, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, how does Jesus' blood purify us from sin? Let me remind you back in the Old Testament. Think back with me for a moment. You'll remember that symbolically in the Old Testament, what they would do was symbolically transfer their sins to an animal and then sacrifice that animal because it represented their sin. And the animal died in their place to pay for their sin and allowing them to continue to live in God's favor. God graciously forgave those who slaughtered animals in their sacrifice for their sin. He graciously forgave them because they kept the commandments and obeyed Him, and thus God granted them forgiveness. But even throughout all that time in the Old Testament of sacrificing animals, it pointed to the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice that would remove all the sin of the world at some point. And that was the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Realize, only the true, real cleansing power of sin can only come from a perfect Lamb. And that was the Lamb of Jesus who takes away the sin of the world. Now remember, sin by its very nature brings death. Sin by its very nature brings death. Just as certain as the law of gravity is acting on you and I right now, pulling us down, so sin, if it is not forgiven, always leads to death. It always leads to a point of death. But Jesus did not die for His own sins. He had none. Instead, by a transaction that we will never fully understand, He died for the sins of the world. Now, that's something we can't hardly grasp, but that's what Scripture tells us. And when we commit our lives to Christ, we identify with Him, and His death becomes our own. He has paid for the penalty of sins in full, and He has purified us with His blood. When evangelist John Wesley was returning home from a service one night, he was robbed. The thief, however, found his victim to have only a little money and some Christian literature. As the bandit was leaving, Wesley called out, "Stop! I have something more to give you." The surprised robber paused. "My friend," said Wesley, "you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." The thief hurried away, and Wesley prayed that his words might bear fruit. Years later, Wesley was greeting members of a church after a Sunday service when he was approached by a stranger. What a surprise to learn that this visitor, now a believer in Christ as a successful businessman, was the one who had robbed him years before. "I owe it all to you," said the transformed man. "Oh no, my friend," Wesley exclaimed, "not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us all from sin." The fact of the matter is, you and I all have sin in our lives. We're born with it. And there is not one thing or one person that can take that sin away. We owe it all to the blood of Jesus, that we can be forgiven of that sin. It is all because of the blood. Not only has the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin, but number two, it brings me peace and reconciliation back with God. It brings me peace and reconciliation back to God. We see this in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Realize, Jesus' death provided a way for all people to be returned back to God. It provided a way for all people to have a right relationship with God. Sin has made a valley between us and God. But because of the death of Jesus, it has bridged that gap and made a way for us to be right with our Creator again. This does not mean that everyone will be saved. That's not what these verses says. But what it is saying is there is a path that has been provided for anyone to come to faith in Jesus. And we can have peace with God and be reconciled to Him by accepting Christ who died in our place. Realize the only way that fallen humanity, such as you and I, can be made right with a holy God is through the cleansing of the blood. That's the only way we can be reconciled back to God. A noted minister of a former generation bore testimony that his whole life was deeply influenced and impressed by a word spoken to him by an aged Christian woman. She said, "God is always right. Are you right with God? Are you right with God?" That's the question this morning. Have you been reconciled back to God? And realize the only way you can be reconciled and have peace with God is through the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that has the power to purify. Number three, the blood of Jesus, it has obtained eternal redemption for me. It has obtained eternal redemption for me. Listen to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place, once for all by His own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Realize, through Christ's death, if you trust in His death, burial, and resurrection, He has freed you from the power of sin. He has freed you from that power. And through Christ's own death, He has freed you forever from that power. Realize, ladies and gentlemen, you and I both were born slaves to sin. We were under Satan's domain. We were under his playground. We had no hope except for a shining Savior. And once you and I trust in the Lord, we go from being sons and slaves to Satan to being sons of the Savior. Forever. It's a forever redemption. It is not a temporary payment for sin, but it is a forever payment for sin. Realize there are two ways you can pay for your sin. Two ways. It can be a forever work career in a place separated from God called hell, where you pay for those sins for all eternity. Or you can allow Jesus' death to pay it in full 2,000 years ago, as long as you trust in Him. Those are the two ways your sins can be paid for. And trust me, trusting in Jesus is much better. Much better. We were born slaves to sin, prisoners to our own appetites, programmed to mess up. Sure, we have good days. Every one of us can put on a good moral front, even if we're lost. But the fact of the matter is, deep down, our desires unleashed would bring ruin and destruction. That's our heritage. Humanity's heritage from our forefather Adam is sin. Sin. That is our heritage because it was passed on to us. But if you have trusted in the blood of Jesus, you have been redeemed from that pointless way of life. You've been redeemed from it by the blood of Jesus. Realize Jesus did not sneak in and kidnap you from the enemy's camp. He bought you fair and square with something much more precious than gold and silver. Your soul is much more precious to God than an earthly metal. Get that through your mind. It took the ultimate sacrifice, the blood of Jesus. That's the only payment that could purchase your soul. And Jesus did not suffer on that cross to buy you for a weekend. He bought you for all eternity. He secured and completed a place for you, an eternal redemption. Jesus' blood has paid your sin debt in full. Even when you stumble and mess up, you remember, the blood of Jesus has redeemed me for eternity. It has redeemed me for eternity. The devil has absolutely no claim on you once the blood has covered you. Once the blood has covered you, you remain in everlasting freedom with the Lord. Number four, the blood of Jesus, it cleanses my conscience. The blood of Jesus can cleanse my conscience. Look at listen to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? Now realize, ladies and gentlemen, sinful acts, sinful deeds in life are much more than just wrong actions. They're actually attempts of the heart to earn God's favor, as if we can earn God's favor ourselves. You know, our culture promotes that, self-glorification, what you can personally achieve. Our culture is horrible about that. It defines the successful person as one who obtains certain goals, financial securities, a certain health and fitness goal, or the respect of others. If you do all those things and some other things, you're successful. But realize, the only successful life is the life that has been forgiven of sin. That's the only successful life that will give you peace and clear your conscience. You know, let me just speak real practically to us this morning, okay? Many of us are allowing Satan in our minds to remind us of past regrets, past sins, past wrongdoings. And he is having a playground in your mind. He is dominating you with guilt and condemnation from things maybe even years back. And listen, the blood of Jesus has purified you from all sins and can cleanse your mind. Stop allowing him to paint a picture of yourself that is false. You are not valuable because of what you can do. You are valuable because of Jesus' blood on your life. You are worth something if you have been saved. The blood of Jesus can cleanse your conscience. You are not the past that determined. You are not the past. That is not what determines your future. What determines your future is the fact that you are now the righteousness of God because you've been cleansed in the blood of Jesus. But many of us allow the sins of our past to keep us in a place that we shouldn't be. If you are carrying a loaded guilt because you are finding that you can't be good enough for God, take another look at Jesus' death and what it means for you. Christ can heal your conscience and deliver you from the frustration of trying to earn God's favor. Bring your guilt-ridden life to Christ. Confess your inability to clear your own conscience and allow his blood to just wash over your mind and over your heart. One night in a church service, a young woman felt the tug of God at her heart. She responded to God's call and accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. The young woman had a very rough past involving alcohol, drugs, and even prostitution. But the change in her was evident. As time went on, she became a faithful member of the church. She eventually became involved in the ministry teaching young children. It was not very long until this faithful young woman had caught the eye and the heart of the pastor's son. The relationship grew and they began to make wedding plans. This was when all the problems began. You see, about one half of the church did not think that a woman with a past such as hers was suitable for the pastor's son. The church began to argue and fight about the matter. So they decided to have a meeting. As the people made their arguments and tensions increased, the meeting was getting completely out of hand. The young woman became very upset about all the things being brought up about her past. As she began to cry, the pastor's son stood to speak. He could not bear the pain it was causing his wife to be. He began to speak, and his statement was this: "My fiance's past is not what is on trial here. What you are questioning is the ability of the blood of Jesus to wash away sin. Today you have put the blood of Jesus on trial. So does it wash away sin or not?" The whole church began to weep as they realized that they had been slandering the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me carefully. Every time you allow Satan to put at the forefront of your mind things that you've done wrong in life, the sin that you've done wrong, and you know you've asked God for forgiveness, and you keep letting that just play through your mind and define who you are, what you are doing is you are slandering the blood of Jesus. It's almost as if we're acting like the blood of Jesus does not have enough power in it to forgive sins. Allow the blood of Jesus to forgive those sins and to cleanse your conscience and live in the freedom that that offers. Fifth and lastly, the blood of Jesus, it sanctifies me. The blood of Jesus sanctifies me. Listen to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. "And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood." Realize, ladies and gentlemen, it is through the power of the blood of Jesus that we have the power to live a holy life for God. Phillips Brooks, the former pastor of Boston's Trinity Episcopal Church, is perhaps best known as the author of O Little Town of Bethlehem. He was a very busy pastor, yet he always seemed relaxed and unburdened, willing to take time for anyone in need. Shortly before Brooks died, a young friend wrote to him and asked the secret of his strength and sincerity. In a heartfelt response, Brooks credited his still-growing relationship with Christ. He wrote, quote, "The more I have thought it over, the more sure it has seemed to me that these last years have had a peace and fullness which there did not used to be. It is a deeper knowledge and truer love of Christ. I cannot tell you how personal this grows to me. He is here. He knows me, and I know him. It is the most real thing in the world, and every day makes it more real. And one wonders with delight what it will grow to as years go on." The power of the blood is not only enough to save you from the domain of Satan, but it is enough to grow you into an intimate relationship with your Lord and your Savior. And listen, when you grow into an intimate relationship with your Savior, it gives you the power to live the rest of your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a very sobering reminder of a message of what the blood of Jesus can do for your life. Be very introspect in this moment. I want you to look at yourself. Has the blood of Jesus cleansed you from your sin? Has he truly saved your life from the sin of Satan? In just a few moments, we're going to look and observe the Lord's Supper. And in this invitation time, I just want to remind you of something before we take the Lord's Supper here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For if anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." Now, get that. We are to examine ourselves. Don't be looking at a neighbor. Don't be looking at a family member. Examine yourself in this moment. What do you need to confess to the Lord before we take the Lord's Supper? Make sure that you're doing that in this moment. Let's stand in a moment of response. Again, I want to welcome anyone who might be feeling the tug of the Lord on your life in this moment. I am down front to meet you and to share more about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to come and join this church this morning, I am down front to meet you. If you need prayer, I am down front to meet you. Whatever it is, come. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, how it cleanses us from sin and makes us the righteousness of God. Father, if you're dealing with anyone this morning, allow them to have the power to trust you. Lord, bless this moment in Jesus' name. Amen.